It's a beautiful day for a motor race.
You fellas did a great job this weekend. Finish her off.
Welcome to the NASCAR podcast 10 and 2.
Yeah, we got a name, guys. It's exciting.
We have a name.
I'm Sue. It's going to be spectacular. But we're here to talk everything and all things NASCAR. And we haven't had this is our second episode. It's been a while, but we're here. We're finally here and we're making it.
It's going to be great.
It is.
You know, it's all about consistency.
Exactly. I feel like we should begin on the next race coming up this week.
Kansas Speedway.
Kansas Speedway, yes.
Let's pull up old Kansas Speedway and where NASCAR will be going back to its traditional style of qualifying.
Group qualification. Should be interesting.
No, single car qualifying. They're going away from group qualification. So let's see here. So for those of you who are unaware, NASCAR in the Cup Series, we'll stick with the Cup Series. They did group qualifying starting back in like 2013, and what they were looking to do was to add a little bit of excitement and something different to the sport to get away from single car qualifying, which was considered boring and whatever. And the fans were asking for a little bit more excitement,
right?
So they started this group qualifying. It worked phenomenal. It was amazing. It brought excitement. And I'm having an issue bringing up the website.
That's WordPress. That's very interesting.
So, hang on. Here we go.
We're having little difficulties.
Little technicalities here. But anyway, NASCAR has been doing this group qualifying for the last several years. It's been working great. And then this year, NASCAR brought out its new rules package, the new aero package, yes.
It's amazing.
Right. The aero package is amazing. The aero package with the group qualifying, not so much. Because what guys were doing, as we've seen at California and Texas Motor Speedway, was because the cars are dominant in the draft, they were pretty much sitting on pit road and qualifying was split into three sessions, first round, second round, third round. In the first round, he had to make top 25. In the second round, he had to make top 12. And then the final 12 qualified in round three of the qualifying. The bad optics came in where we've seen at California most recently, a few weeks ago, guys were sitting on pit road waiting for somebody to just go.
Yeah.
And once that first car went, everybody would go out, but it looked horrible from the fans' point who, you know, they're spending a lot of money to be able to, you know, sit in the grandstands and watch qualifying, not a bunch of race cars sit on pit road. So it first happened at California.
I'm kind of interested to see how this is going to work in Kansas, because Kansas is a long racetrack, like you said in the past.
It's a mile and a half.
A mile and a half, which is longer than other racetracks. So I want to see how it works. I also want to see how the aero package works here, too. Because aero package, we all know the aero package works very well with shks. We've seen in the past. We saw it with Kotanga. Not Kotanga. Help me out here.
The aero package.
The aero package works well. It was a race. It happened a few weeks ago.
The aero package worked really good at, well, there were several different tracks this year where the aero package worked pretty well. Richmond, it worked well.
What am I thinking about? Kotega?
I'm not sure what you're...
All right, we'll move on past that.
Yeah. Anyway, the aero package works. The aero package, in my opinion, this past weekend at Dover, it worked well.
I want to see how it works here because it's a longer track.
Right, the mile and a half racetrack.
All the tracks are not as long.
I'm a little skeptical about what the kind of racing we're going to see at Pocono Raceway, being that it's such a long, drawn-out racetrack, two and a half miles. relatively flat racetrack. You got some banking there in turns one. Turns two and three, a little bit more of a flat racetrack. Then you got the long sweeping straightaways. So I'm really interested to see if this package is going to bring some more excitement to Pocono, or if it's going to be the typical follow the leader for 400 miles.
I feel like it might be follow the leader only because it's a very long track. I mean, this is also a long track, but at the same time, like, I would say it's more mid-range than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, it's not too long, but it's not short.
Right. So, yeah, like, it's one of the bigger tracks that NASCAR goes to. The biggest one, obviously, being Talladega, which
is
slightly...
That's what I was thinking about, Talladega.
Talladega.
That's for some reason, I thought of a C. I don't know why. But, yeah, I was thinking about Talladega before.
Talladega was a great race. But to get back on the qualifying... The group qualifying doesn't work with this aero package. It brings bad optics to the sport. Fans were getting really annoyed. It first happened, like I said, at California, and then it happened again at Texas. Don't see it so much on the short tracks because short tracks, obviously, to those who are aware, are not aero dominant as much as the mile and a half, and super speedways are. So this weekend, going back to single car qualifying at Kansas Speedway, and I think it was a smart move on the sport. It was something that needed to be done because, obviously, the group qualifying with this aero package didn't work anymore.
No, I agree. I want to see how it plays out with this Kansas race, and I want to see how the audience is about it and how the fans feel about it and how the reaction is to people who are seeing it live.
Right.
That's the biggest thing, is NASCAR is a live sport. You get the most out of it when you see it live. So I want to see the reactions and the positivity and negativities that when people are viewing the race.
Right.
And I do feel like this race is going to be one of the best races we see this year because we have I feel like NASCAR's finally finalizing the whole season about what they're changing. Like, I think they realize, all right, we have the aerodynamic package, which is working well. Then we have group qualifications not working, so let's go back to single. They're messing around, so I feel like this is them kind of like finalizing it, adding the icing to the cake.
Right. They're adapting and they're overcoming. That's what this sport is all about. It's constantly changing. Nothing is ever absolute. And the folks who are at the top of NASCAR know what to do, when to do it, and the people criticizing them, listen, if you're not happy with the way things are, you know, go to NASCAR.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, click on the careers link, and go to apply for a job there and show us how it's done because I'm interested to see it. Kyle Busch, to get on a different topic, he's been making the news quite often lately in the last few weeks.
He is Kyle Busch, though, too.
He is Kyle Busch. He has no filter.
NASCAR, he doesn't have a filter. That's it. Yeah.
He is the GOAT right now. I would say he's definitely going to go down as one of the greatest of all times, but... He also has no filter. If there's something on his mind, you're going to know about it. Most recently, he criticized the speed at Dover, saying that the cars were starting to go too fast. The cars were approaching, I think it was like 203, 204 miles an hour in practice and qualifying trim. Kyle Busch was one of the only drivers that I recall who had some trepidation about those speeds. Stating that they're approaching a danger zone. I could kind of play both sides of the fence when it comes to this. NASCAR is synonymous with fast speed and going fast. And I would say in the last two decades, close to 20 years, NASCAR has made leaps and bounds in safety innovations with the race cars and the tracks. Combined with the safer barrier walls, you're not hitting a solid concrete barrier anymore like you were back in the good old days. And then inside the car, the safety initiative is phenomenal with the Hans device, with just everything that goes into keeping these drivers safe. So I would have to kind of say on that subject, I kind of disagree with Kyle Busch.
Do you think he's saying this so he can remain being the top? Do you think he's saying this? Do you think he's a little afraid of the competition?
I don't think he's afraid. I definitely don't think he's afraid of the competition. I think he's sincere in his words. I don't think anything that he's saying is necessarily erroneous. I think they're his subjective opinion, maybe.
Okay.
They're opinionated, very strongly opinionated. But like I said, I could play both sides of the fence. I don't think the cars are going too fast. That's what they get paid to do. And that's what Chase Elliott's exact words were after winning the poll on Friday at Dover was, we get paid, after hearing Kyle Busch's remarks, was, we get paid to go fast. We're going fast. And that's what we're getting paid to do.
Do you think he's worried about safety too? Or like,
well, that was the big thing I felt like Kyle Busch was pushing, was the safety was starting to hit that. It was starting to toe. It was starting to toe that gray line of excitement and danger.
How do you function a car, though, that fast? Like, think about it. We go down the highway to 80 or whatever route you want to take. We're going 80 miles an hour, and these race car drivers are going 300 miles an hour. Major difference. But at the same time, like, they are trained to do that. Like,
right.
They said, I feel like the aerodynamic Patrick 2 allows them to go faster in the sense of you have inertia and you have, like, physics on your back to help you propel it.
And Dover is definitely one of the most grueling races that these drivers go to, just because of the sheer dynamics of the track. It's all concrete, so right there you're going to have high speeds. The way the track is set up with the banking, it's 400 miles, as some of the drivers describe it. It's 400 miles of just nearly holding your breath every lap, you know, intense. We've had some drivers get the crush panels knocked out of the car during the race, and they ended up having some problems with the fumes, the race fumes getting inside the car. So Dover is a tough track to begin with.
Okay.
It's an amazing track. It's a fun track to watch a race. But not to get off on a tangent, I kind of, like I said, I could play both sides of the fence with Kyle Busch in the sense that
safety is important.
Safety is important, but at the same time, I don't feel like the cars are at a threshold to where it's becoming adrenaline-filled excitement watching these cars go around the track. The aero package at a lot of these tracks have increased the speed, increased the speed as opposed to decreasing the speed, like some of the fans believe. Where I could play both sides of the fence is, as Kyle Busch mentioned, lowering the speed or reducing the speed to, say, 180 or 160 miles an hour at tracks like Dover would actually produce better competition. And that's where I kind of agree with him. Slowing these cars down would make closer racing, tighter racing. And yes, we are getting some of that now, but do we need it at 205, 200 miles an hour? I wouldn't be opposed to slowing the cars down if it meant better racing. And obviously that would also mean better inside the car for the drivers. But at the same time, they get paid to drive fast, and that's what the fans want. They don't want to hear that lowering the speed by 40-plus miles an hour is going to produce better racing, because they're going to all of a sudden jump to, well, you know, NASCAR sucks, and they're taking speed away, and the cars are going slow.
Isn't that what people argued about with the aerodynamic package?
With the new package, right. As soon as they left Daytona and went to Atlanta, the everybody was like, oh, the cars are going so slow. If you look at the stats from racingreference.com, the cars were going maybe 2 to 4 miles an hour slower.
Yeah.
And they still put on an amazing race, you know, from the optics standpoint. The looks of it was still no different than what we've seen in the past. The finish was one of the closest finishes that we've seen in almost like 10 years. But when NASCAR first introduced this aero package and the lower horsepower, the only thing that clicked with the race fans, the majority of the race fans, was NASCAR's taking horsepower away and they're slowing the cars down. The racing's going to suck, which is the complete opposite, because all but maybe one or two racetracks I've seen nothing but great racing, a lot of passing through the field, and the cars have not lost their speed by that much.
Do you think some fans just kind of think negatively, in a sense, like they only see one side?
I think they're stuck in a negative mindset.
Negative mindset, okay.
I think they have, I don't know what the word is for it, but they only see the negative and everything. So as soon as they seen that the horsepower is going down to 500 or whatever horsepower it is, right? They don't want to. They don't want to hear from people who get paid a lot of money to do what they do in the sport. They don't want to hear from those people that it's going to produce better racing and safer, more safety for the drivers. All they see is, you know, less horsepower, slower cars, NASCAR sucks, the sport's going in a hole.
And that's not true at all.
And it's not true at all. NASCAR's rating in the first quarter of the season, TV ratings have been up like 3-5%. You know, so I don't think the sport's in any kind of danger. You know, yeah, you know, the optics of Bristol were kind of horrible. But again, the fans want to take the fact that the turn grandstands at Bristol were empty instead of the racing itself. And yeah. I think those fans need to find something else to watch.
Whoa, okay. I mean, you have a point, but they just need to get used to it. I feel like a lot of people like are old school and don't want to change that way.
Right.
As in, they don't want to put new change to it. But at the same time, like, this change is good. And I'm actually, like I said, going back to single qualification, I'm excited to see how that works.
I think it's going to work the same as it did before we went to group qualifying. It's going to be one car at a time.
Do you think it's going to be boring compared to group qualification? Or do you think more drivers are going to be like, the drivers going to be more into it because they don't have to worry about popping off first?
Right. They're going to be into it, but they're not going to have to worry about, okay, who's going to go first? Because I need to draft off this guy in order to get a fast time. The way NASCAR has laid it out is it's going to be single car qualifying. The next car in line goes at the drop of the white flag of the previous car's run. So there's always going to be a car on the track for the duration of the qualifying period, meaning that less downtime for the fans who are paying money to sit in the seats. And to kind of bounce off what I said before with finding something else to watch, it's just social media has become like the go-to for all the negative.
That is very true.
Exactly. So it's like,
social media has impacted the way broadcasting sports and et cetera.
Right. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're never going to please everybody. And I think NASCAR is doing a phenomenal job. The people who are running it.
NASCAR is one of those corporations or sports organizations that listen to its fans and change. Like, you don't see that with football. You don't see that with baseball.
Right.
Like, that's the one thing that impressed me the most about this organization, about this community, and about this sport, is that people care about, like, they care about the audience, they care about what they produce, and it's all in one. It's right. Like, you're a big family, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And I don't know. I'm excited to get through. We're not even through the first half of the season, and I can't wait for the next race and the next race.
Pocono
coming up in 3 weeks. So we got Kansas this week, Kansas racing this week, and that will be the the name of this race? The Digital Ally 400.
Digital Ally.
May 11th.
That
at
sounds
Kansas.
Badass.
And the week after that, we got the All-Star race at Charlotte.
I can't wait for that race. I'm actually really hyped. I'm really hyped for that race.
That's and they got new packages out for that.
They do.
And then the following week, so we got 2 weeks in Charlotte, and then they follow that up with Pocono and then Michigan. Michigan always puts on a great race.
Pocono's in June?
Oh, Pocono's June 2nd.
June 2nd.
Yeah, May 31st to June 2nd.
I thought it was in July.
Well, the second race is in July.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yo. My bad. But yeah, second race in July. I'm hopefully going to get tickets to see that because I want to see that. And also, do you want to discuss on, have there been any news on Christian Bell?
No, not really. Not that I've seen since the last podcast that we talked about him.
In the previous podcast, we talked about what we think about Christian Bell and whether he should go to the Cup Series instead of the Xfinity Series.
And there's no doubt he's ready for the Cup Series. It's just a matter of where he's going to go, because it doesn't appear that there's going to be any real open seats in the Cup Series.
I think we both agreed that he should wait till like 2020 or 2019, right? Or it is 2020 or 2021.
Right, 2020 or 2021. I don't really see him going to Levine Family Racing. But only time will tell.
That is right. It's very exciting. And you know what's crazy about this? It feels like we're in the mid-season of NASCAR, but we're still in a quarter. We're not even in the mid. And like we have so many more exciting races.
We still have the summer swings.
Exactly. And then we still got a little bit in the fall, a little bit.
Like that's when you really start seeing you start seeing the who's who of the sport in the Cup Series right around this time of the year, right around Kansas, the All-Star race. From Pocono on, we get into the full summer swing. So if teams don't have their stuff together by now, they're really struggling. Chevy is finally starting to put together some good solid races.
They had to change the Camaro. This Camaro is not doing good for them.
Well, the last couple races, it's been faring well. I mean, you've seen Chase Elliott, even though it was under a caution flag, he won Talladega. He got the pole. We've seen a lot of fast speeds out of Chevy at Dover. And I'm excited to see what they bring starting tomorrow when there's some on-track activity tomorrow at Kansas.
You know what I'm really excited for? That Toyota Supra.
Yeah, well, they're not looking so bad.
They look nice.
Yeah.
They look really nice. I mean, Toyota as a whole is good. To be represented by Toyota as a driver is really good, too. Right. So always I make good products.
I think NASCAR switching over to, with the exceptions of the Camry, which, don't get me wrong, the new Camry is nice. The new Camry is definitely a really nice car. But for the most part, NASCAR is switching its on-track manufacturers to all muscle car. Like we used to have the Ford Fusion, now we have the Ford Mustang,
which is amazing.
We used to have the Chevy. Yeah, it's a really nice, nice car to look at. We went from the Chevy Impala to the Chevy Camaro, and then in the Xfinity series, bringing in the Supra, which is just a phenomenal piece of machinery there.
It looks so nice.
But NASCAR's initiative to make it all muscle car, I think that was a good move.
That was a good move. You know what I also want to see? I want to see a Dodge camp.
There's been rumors since Dodge pulled out in 2012. There's been rumors of other manufacturers.
Put the Charger, even the Durango. I don't care.
But there's also
want Dodge back.
There's also been talks of like Honda jumping in.
I feel like Dodge jumping before Honda.
Well, I mean, I'd be open to anybody jumping.
I'd be open too. But I don't know. Honda's a great company, but I just. Were they in NASCAR in the past? Like
no, they were never in NASCAR. The first foreign manufacturer, quote unquote foreign, was Toyota back in 2007. I think they made their introduction to NASCAR. But I'd be excited for Dodge. I'd be excited for Toyota or Honda.
I could see Honda a little bit.
There's some satire websites out there where if you look up Honda NASCAR, they show like a stock car that's like a Honda Civic or something like that, and on some of those
I'd put the Honda Civic STI.
Yeah, I know it's hard to say what car they would put on track.
That's the STI. I meant SI.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. SI. You. STI would be Subaru.
Yeah, Subaru. Yeah. Subaru should be in it. Imagine a WRX in that. That'd be so cool.
The more manufacturers that come to the sport cannot do anything but
make money,
increase the wealth of the sport as a whole. The only people that would be against it, I feel like, would be the old heads. I want my Chevy, Buick, and Dodge back in the field. Back when Lee Petty would, change isn't always bad. I would be, more than open-minded to seeing more Honda, Dodge.
What if you saw a German company?
Volkswagen, I would be open
You'd
to
be
it.
You'd be open for that, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it depends on the company.
The other thing I'm excited about is the Gen 7 car that they're working on.
What?
So they're working on what they're calling a Gen 7 car. And pretty much from what I'm understanding is that it's going to go back to looking more like an actual stock car.
Interesting.
So let's see if, there you see the Supra. But anyway, NASCAR is coming out with their new generation. Here we go.
Okay, I see. Now it looks more like a...
It looks more like the actual stock...
Stock car.
Stock
so
car.
So what we have here is we have pictures of the Generation 7, and I'll try to put one up on the thumbnail of the podcast so you guys can see
here
it.
Here we go. So it actually has the hood scoop. It actually has the wing.
That looks really cool, actually. I wouldn't mind that at all.
And this is what NASCAR, the rumors anyway, this is what the rumors are, that the new Gen 7 car will replicate, make it more. But because this is the biggest thing. If you go on the social media sites and you just scroll through the comments, or even like YouTube, just scroll through the comments, the number one complaint, in my opinion, is the fact that NASCAR is not stock anymore. And part of, I mean, it's in that abbreviation, National Auto Stock Car Racing Association.
Do you think they ever will go back to stock? Because I don't think they will.
No, they can't.
I mean, they can make it look stock.
It is absolutely impossible to go back to stock, completely stock racing, just with the amount of abuse. That's the easiest way to describe it, that these cars go to. There's no way that a stock, 2.4 liter motor, going around Daytona is, within 20 laps, it would be blowing up. There's no way that NASCAR will ever go completely stock, but the optics of it, they absolutely can, which we're looking at right now with this potential.
That looks really nice. Also, it could improve aerodynamics too, if you think about it.
Right. But more so than anything, just to get the naysayers of, NASCAR isn't stock anymore, to get them to say, look, I mean, how much more stock can you get than this?
True. And it literally looks like the exact car from the picture.
Yeah. It looks great. And if this is what NASCAR is aiming for, I'm all for it. That's some exciting stuff.
I'm actually happy for that. That looks really nice. It looks so beautiful. I got to admit. And, I mean, when I first saw NASCAR, because I literally just got NASCAR this season.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first saw, I didn't mind it not being stock. Like, it threw me off. But I was like, all right, it doesn't matter because I'm more into the racing.
Right.
But if they add the stock image, I feel like it's going to engage the audience and the drivers into the car.
And it looks like, all right, so the proposed hood vent is similar to the ones used on high performance production cars like the Ford Mustang, Shelby GT500. Just a little bit coming from Fox News Sports.
.com. Fox News is very hand to hand with NASCAR.
So, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm always excited to see what new stuff NASCAR is going to come out with.
It's exciting stuff. And it does look like a beautiful car. I'm so excited. I'm so happy I just got into this sport, because there's so much going on. There's so many intensities, and it's just an amazing sport to watch and to get into.
Definitely. So, yeah.
Is this it?
I guess that's it.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to 10 and 2. We talk everything and everything and all things NASCAR. And next week we'll have another episode for you about this race coming up in 2 days.
In the summer swing. I'm sure it'll be a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You guys have a great day.
Enjoy the races, folks.
Bye.